So we come to the final in our series, Who Am I? And this week we're looking at the subject free. We live in a world that is obsessed by freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of liberty, freedom of rights, free to do whatever I want to do. It's my right to do what I want to do. It was written about this particular lady, Mary Whitehouse, that she was a veteran campaigner. Some of you may remember her who campaigned and stood on her Christian values and views. And it was said about her that while she may have won the battle to protect our nation from the onslaught of liberalisation, she eventually lost the war. If you've seen the film Braveheart, who's seen the film Braveheart? Have you seen the film? Anyone want to confess to seeing the film Braveheart? Okay, good. It's a good film. And you'll remember the cry of William Wallace, freedom, that rang out many times during the film. But the thing is, as Christians, we can shout freedom, not because we want it, not because we think we deserve it, but because we have it. It is ours. But the question for us that we're going to look at this morning is, what kind of freedom is it? What kind of freedom do you and I have as Christians? And what does Paul say about that? So we're going to dive into Galatians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles want to follow, please do. Or the words are again on the screen for you to follow as well. So let's read Galatians 5. We're reading from verse 1 through to verse 15. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brother and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The context of this passage is a letter that was written by Paul to a group of churches in the area called Galatia. And the purpose of writing the letter was to defend the gospel that he had taught, because others had come in, as we've just heard in that reading, to try and distract people and to try and say that Paul hadn't quite got it right. He'd kind of missed something out of the message. And Paul, throughout this letter to the church of Galatia, this Galatians letter, has been pretty pointed and direct. He hasn't messed about. He hasn't kind of fudged the issues. He's kind of got straight to the point. It's quite a poignant and direct letter. And so again, he comes straight to the point in this particular chapter. In chapters 3 and 4, he's been talking about the law making us slaves to sin. And at the end of chapter 4, he concludes by highlighting that we are children of the free woman, not of the slave woman. And he picks it up on this opening section here for us. We are free. That is what God has created us for. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He sets us free. God's purpose in releasing us from the bondage to the law was that we might enjoy freedom. That's how Paul describes the Christian life, a life of freedom. Now, I'm pretty sure if you went out onto the streets, or even I asked you what to describe the Christian life, would you use the word freedom to describe it? It's not a word that we tend to use, or it tends to be aligned to Christianity very often, is it? But Paul tells us to stand firm and not fall away, not to leave this place of freedom, not to listen to the false teachers that are trying to peddle something else. So, what are we free from? Free from what? If we've been set free, there is something obviously we've been set free from, and what is that? So, there's a few things here. First of all, in verses 2 through 6, we're freed not from sin, but the law. You know, God hasn't freed our wills from sin. We still get tempted and we still give in to temptation and we still sin. Paul says that in Romans 7. You know, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do. Woe am I, you know, I can't get it right. And we echo Paul's words and we go, actually, Paul, you're right. None of us get it right too. And yet, what we haven't been released from is the struggle to fulfill the law. As far as faith is concerned, we are free. We cannot mix our faith with trying to keep the law because those two things are incompatible. And Paul says in these verses, he said, if you choose that path, if you choose to want to fulfill the law, and the way he describes that is through circumcision, and that was probably what was being taught by these false teachers. You have to be circumcised in order to be a true Christian, was probably the message. You know, Paul hasn't quite told you the full story, has he? So the message was, you haven't quite got it right. You've got to add to what Jesus has done for you, and you need to be circumcised. And Paul goes, no, if you choose that path, if you choose that route, then you've got to go the whole way and fulfill the whole law. Or not. You can't have it one way or both. You can't have it both ways. It's got to be one way or other. And Paul says, you know, the way that God has called us and chosen us is to free us from having to fulfill the law. See, the problem with circumcision was it wasn't the circumcision itself that was the problem. It was what it meant that actually it was faith in Jesus Christ plus. We have to do certain things as well as put our trust in Jesus Christ. That was the problem. As far as I'm aware, we don't have a problem with circumcision in this church. But what else do we have in its place? Is it faith in God plus coming to church? Plus praying, plus giving, plus membership, plus quiet times. What is it that we're saying? What are the things that we're in danger of saying or believing? Faith in God and I've got to be good enough is probably one of the ones that I hear quite a lot. Yeah, I put my faith in God, but I'm not good enough. Where's that in the Bible? Where's that in the gospel story? That's this false narrative. We can add nothing to the gospel. Jesus has done it all for us. It is in Christ, through faith alone, that we are saved. And Paul says it's got to be one way or other. You can't have it both ways. It's either Christ or it's the law. And you choose. But if you go down the law route, in this case circumcision, then you've got to go the whole hog. And you've got to fulfill the whole of it. And nobody can do that. So why even bother? Paul goes on in these next verses through 7 through to 12, and I'm not going to dwell on it much, but he talks in these verses about the opposition, the people that were cutting in on, he says in verse 7, who's cut in on you? I love that expression, because it talks about this journey that we're on. Now, who cut us up? You know, you know what it's like when you're driving and someone cuts you up. Or for our boys, runners, and you know, you see it, people cutting in and cutting them off and knocking them over. Who's cut in on us? Who's stopped us? Who's thrown us off our stride? What is it? What's happened to us? It may not be a person. It may be something that we've allowed to come into our thinking. And in these verses, Paul talks about that. He talks about the fact that he asks the question, hang on a minute, if I'm not teaching the right stuff, why are they persecuting me? Surely there's an inconsistency somewhere along the lines here. I'm being persecuted because I'm teaching the right stuff. Paul's defense of his gospel and his love for these people is so significant that he, and so important that he kind of urges those who are kind of cutting in to castrate themselves. Go the whole hog, he says, and emasculate yourselves. Rather than confuse Christians. He is so protective. You know, let's not see this as a negative thing. Let's see the protective heart in Paul here. He is so concerned for those who he has brought to faith, those who he's been involved with birthing. That he says to them, you know, I kind of want you to be protected. I don't like people cutting on you, and I hate it when people kind of are peddling false messages. So this first section in this section from verses 2 through to verse 12, Paul says, you know, we've been brought into freedom. We've been freed from the law, and we cannot mix grace and the law. That's what we've been freed from. That's the context of what Paul is. But then he goes on to talk in the next section about what we're freed to do. And there are three positives and three negatives. Free for what? There we go. Free to turn your phones on or off. What are we able to do? Free, first of all, to obey, not to indulge the flesh. The positive and the negative. In verse 13, there it is, Paul says, you know, let's not use our freedom to satisfy our sinful, selfish nature. You know, we haven't been brought into freedom in order that we can throw away the law and ignore it, and we can please ourselves and we can do whatever we want. That's not what Paul says. Paul's not saying get rid of the law. He's saying let's not use the law to try and justify ourselves. Let's not try and use the law to get ourselves right with God, because that's not going to happen. The law is there to guide us and to give us God's instructions for how we should live our lives. So we don't get rid of it, but we just don't use it as a means to be saved, and a means to be made right with God. So we fall on God's grace. We fall on what Jesus has done for us. But we still rely on the law to guide us and to direct us into how we should live our lives. Paul says in verse 6, a little bit earlier, it's faith expressing itself through love that counts. Ultimately, that's about obedience. Now, obey is a much maligned word in our society, isn't it? It's fallen out of favor in the marriage service, for example, and increasingly it's not used, it's dropped, because it's misunderstood in the connotations of what obedience means. People understand it in terms of submission and domination rather than in terms of love and protection. When we do away with the law, we miss what God wants us. What we should be doing is being choosing to be obedient to the law and to what God asks of us, but not using it as our means to be made right with God. So those of you who are, well, some of you would know this, if you're playing football and you kind of put the jumpers down for goalposts, all that kind of stuff, if you're playing a proper game, you might have a referee. They may or may not be very good, you know. We heard last week on Wednesday about Brian's referee, linesmanship, you know, and how he was kind of sacked as being the linesman for the team because he gave a penalty that he shouldn't have done. But you know, if you're playing with a referee, the referee kind of controls the game, or is meant to control the game. If you're playing without a referee, most people that I know, most games that I play, you still choose to obey the rules of football, even though you haven't got a referee there to tell you. You might not do offsides, but everything else you kind of do. You kind of still follow the rules. You know, you don't just throw all the rule book out just because there's no referee. Just because we don't have to use the law to become right with God doesn't mean we just chuck it away and we ignore it. We choose in obedience to obey the law as our response to the freedom that we have for having to use it to be made right with God. So while we're free from its constraints, we recognize that it's God's perfect standard for us, and we therefore choose to be obedient to it. So we are free to obey, not to just get rid of it and indulge our sinful nature. Secondly, we're free to serve and not to exploit our neighbor. If that first statement was about the flesh, this second statement was about our relationship with those around us. You know, we haven't been made free in order that we can just selfishly do what we want. It's not about serving my needs. It's not about just getting what I can from my neighbours or from my friends or my family or from my church. In our place of freedom, we use our freedom to serve our neighbours. We use our freedom to serve other people. We choose to give to them rather than to take from them. In our Freedom in Christ group, in the group that we had this during the course, we spent quite a few weeks talking about this issue, about what happens when we come to church. You know, the fact that as we gather as church, as we come to gather, if our attitude is to come and see what I'm going to get out of it, we're going to often leave disappointed. Am I going to come and expect someone else to bless me? We're going to miss out. In our gathering, as we come to church, we should be in an attitude of giving. Giving to others. Giving to God. And it's when we give, we receive. That's what God says in his word. It is in giving that you receive. If our attitude when we come to church is to give to others, a smile, a word of greeting. Audrey was here last Sunday to greet her, to give her a smile. It was the last opportunity she had to be with human beings in a way that she understood and responded to. What do we do when we come to church? Is it about me? Do I come to get my needs met? Because if it is, you're going to be disappointed. We come to give to God. We come to give to others. We come and we use our freedom to serve and to bless others. And thirdly, we're free to love, not to disregard the law. You know, the law, Paul says, can be summed up in one phrase, love your neighbour as yourself. Now, we know that the law is, you know, Jesus talked about there being two commandments, love the Lord your God and love your neighbour as yourself. Often those two are seen as one, although in two parts. We don't disregard what it means to love just because we have freedom. Just because we're free doesn't mean say we ignore this, and we ignore this whole point about loving our neighbour as ourselves. But what does it mean to love? What does it mean to love our neighbour as ourselves? We say it, we use that language all the time, don't we? But what does it actually look like? Love is patient. Patience. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It isn't proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's what we choose. Choose love, not to disregard the law. And what happens? What does Paul say happens when we do that? He says there's unity because actually we're not going to be devouring each other. We're not going to be biting, backbiting, stabbing each other in the back, gossiping about each other, destroying each other. Where there's love, there will be unity. We can rally to the cry of freedom, for that is what is ours in Christ. We've been set free from the constraints of the law. We don't have to go and do what the law says in order to become free. We are free because Jesus Christ has set us free. We don't have to jump through hoops. We don't have to be circumcised. We don't have to do this, that, the other to become right with God. But in that place of freedom, we have a choice. And that choice is we can choose to use our freedom and choose to live God's way, or we can choose to live our way. What are you going to do with your freedom? Because this is God's way. Obedience, service, love. That's what it means for us to do God's way. We've been through this series. We've looked at who we are in Christ. Who am I? Well, we're made in the image of God. We are made fearfully and wonderfully. It challenges that identity issue that so many of us struggle with. We're chosen. God's chosen us. He's given us purpose and meaning in life. He has made us his children. We are children of God and we are free. Is that your experience? Is that what you know to be the Christian life? Who are you? Well, there's a list there. If you put your trust in Jesus, you're his. And all those things apply. Let's pray, shall we?